Welcome back to the show, everybody. For those of you who don't know, this podcast is basically an audio compilation of my videos on YouTube. Head over to my Instagram at film_punch, and the link in the bio should take you where you need to go for my YouTube channel. And basically you get all these reviews earlier over on the YouTube channel as opposed to on the podcast. So go check all that out in this video, or in the podcast episode rather. You will be hearing me say stuff like, comment, and subscribe. So hopefully that doesn't throw you off or anything like that. And you're like, oh, the podcast is over, because it's not. I'll let you know when it's over, okay? Just to preface that right in the beginning there. But in this episode, I will be reviewing four movies. Going to be starting with 1978's Halloween. After that, it'll be 2018's Halloween. After that, it'll be 2021's Halloween Kills. And then finally, 2022's Halloween Ends. Guess you can see a theme with this episode. It's all Halloween. So yeah, I love these movies. I'm very excited for you to hear my conversations about them. This will be quite a long episode because my reviews for at least Halloween 2018 and Halloween Kills are honestly some of my longer videos on YouTube, especially the Halloween Kills one. That's almost 30 minutes long, which it's surprising, but I do have a lot to say about that one. So yeah, that's what you can expect from this episode today. Before I get into any of it, I do have to thank my sponsors. This episode is sponsored by Audible, which, if you don't know, has a great selection of audiobooks, originals, and podcasts. And right now, if you go to www.audibletrial.com/popculturepodcast, you can get a free 30-day trial of Audible Plus, which lets you listen to a selection of audiobooks, originals, sleep tracks, meditation programs, and podcasts. Or you can get a free 30-day trial of Audible Premium Plus, which gives you all of that from Audible Plus, as well as one free title per month from an extended selection of bestsellers and new releases, and you own those, so that's awesome. So if you want to go get that 30-day free trial of Audible, that website is www.audibletrial.com/popculturepodcast. Now on with the show.
It's 106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Right, so 1978's Halloween is the classic slasher horror film that started it all. We would not have what we have now with numerous sequels and what we have with the character of Michael Myers if not for this iconic film. And what can I really say that hasn't already been said about this movie? It's such a classic. Like I said before, it's super iconic. So many iconic scenes. And I mean, the character of Michael Myers and also Laurie Strode in general, just two really great characters within the slasher movie realm, I guess you could say. I would say this is probably my favorite, if not my second favorite, slasher movie next to the original Scream. But I mean, even 5-year-olds like know about Michael Myers. It's such an iconic character that everybody knows it, even the people that don't watch these types of movies. And I mean, Michael Myers, for me, I think would be my favorite slasher. Ghostface, not so much, because I don't know. There's so many other people that play that one character. And I mean, with this here, you're getting the same person essentially every time. And does it get ridiculous? For sure, as it goes on. But as for this movie, it has a certain level of realism. There's certain things in there where I'm just like, yeah, that probably wouldn't be like physically possible to do, but you know, Michael getting stabbed, getting shot, and still being fine, it adds to the lore and the mystery and the suspense of the character in the movies. And I think they do it very well in this one, for sure. In fact, I would say they do it best in this one as opposed to even the newer ones with building suspense, because with the newer ones, in those, Michael Myers is kind of just a crazy killing machine that just kills and kills and kills. especially in Halloween Kills, which is fitting for the title. But with those movies, you feel like there's a little less suspense. It's been a minute since I've watched those ones, but there's so many kills going on in those movies. Whereas in this one, you barely see any kills until like the last 15, 20, 25 minutes. Because the rest of the movie is just building up suspense, showing this character who is just stalking these different people all around and trying to lure them into little traps and whatnot, and finding the right time to strike. And that is something I've always loved about the character of Michael Myers. He is just horrifying and just creepy and all sorts of stuff. By the way, he kills two dogs in this movie, and that is just, ooh, enough to make you hate a character, I guess, which is perfect. You're not supposed to like him. And that's the thing with a lot of slashers is like, sure, they're killing people, but there's a certain level of charm to them. You gotta kind of love it because they are the characters that they are. And I don't think Michael Myers would be as iconic as he is now if they showed a lot more of him killing animals, I guess. People would be a lot more against him, but no, people love to see Michael Myers. So, they haven't really done a whole lot like that since, but it just goes to show how different this character is as the movies go on. Very different from, maybe not very, but quite different from how he was in this original film. And you really don't get to know a whole lot of the backstory about the character of Michael Myers. You get to know about him basically killing his sister on Halloween night as a kid. And then basically for the rest of that time, you imagine that he's probably in some sort of mental facility. And in pretty much towards the beginning of the movie, we see him break out and head to Haddonfield, Illinois, where he stalks upon Laurie Strode, played by Jamie Lee Curtis, and her friends Annie and Linda, played by Nancy Loomis at the time, now Nancy Keyes, and PJ Souls, who plays Linda there. Which, by the way, Jamie Lee Curtis, not her first acting gig, but definitely the first thing to really put her on the map. I mean, I feel like it's safe to say she probably wouldn't quite have the career she has now if not for this movie. Same kind of goes for John Carpenter there, because before this movie, the only other hit that he had was a hit over in Europe. And ever since Halloween, he was able to do a lot of other really great movies, such as The Thing, Christine, Big Trouble in Little China, Escape from New York and LA. So a lot of really iconic films that he probably wouldn't have been able to do if not making this film, which was actually a quite rushed film. The script, I believe I heard, only took 3 weeks to make, which is crazy because some scripts take certain writers their entire lives to write, depending on if what kind of project that it is. So that's quite a turnaround, even for today's standards, I would say. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like that's a very short time frame. And also from what I heard that on set, like they were filming at a very fast pace. And so there's a few like little mistakes in there, but it's nothing that really like ruins anything for me. I don't know. Sometimes the imperfections kind of add to it a little bit and add to the realism, so I can appreciate that. But yeah, I mean, so many iconic moments in this movie, such as Michael Myers dressed in the ghost costume and whatnot, the whole scene of, and spoiler alert, but this movie has been out since 78, but the whole scene of Laurie finding one of her friends dead and her boyfriend dead, and then her being next to a dark closet, and you just see that mask, that face of Michael Myers start to appear slowly from the darkness, and that's one of my favorite shots in this movie for sure. But yeah, I mean, like, it's hard to say enough about this film that hasn't already been said because this movie's been talked about so many times, but I guess I can just kind of give you some of my takes on it. Before I do that, I do want to talk about some of the cast and writers and whatnot. So obviously, as I said before, this is directed by John Carpenter, and it is written by John Carpenter as well as Deborah Hill. It stars Jamie Lee Curtis as Laurie Strode. We have Donald Pleasence as Loomis. As I said before, Nancy Loomis at the time, now Nancy Keyes as Annie, PJ Souls as Linda. We also have Charles Cyphers as Brackett, which I believe is the father to Annie's character. We also have Kyle Richards as Lindsay and Brian Andrews as Tommy, the two kids that Laurie was babysitting in the film. And they actually come back in Halloween Kills. Both of these actors reprise their roles. And then we have Nick Castle as The Shape, which is the name given to Michael Myers in this movie, or at least for the credits. They call him Michael Myers and whatnot in the movie, but as for the credits, they call it The Shape, which I think is definitely a really cool name. I like that name. It's very ominous. So, yeah, bear with me. I'm COVID-free, but I'm still kind of having the symptoms, so I'm all stuffed up. So if I have to breathe out of my mouth a lot, you know why. Bear with me. But let me get into some notes here. The music in general in this movie, not just the theme music, but the music in between the scenes where it's like, excuse me, I can't really do that noise right now because of my congestion, but yeah, I can't do that at all, can I? But yeah, just the music in here, the way it builds suspense, it's just so eerie and creepy. And man, it's the kind of thing I could just play while passing out candy or whatever during Halloween. Like, it's just the perfect music. It's the ambiance music for the Halloween season, at least for me. Like, if I'm putting up these decorations, I was listening to the Halloween theme song while putting up these decorations. Like, it's iconic music. They don't really make, I mean, they make really good music for movies nowadays, very eerie music for horror movies especially, but nothing comes close to the music that they made for this movie, in my opinion. Enough said. But yeah, let me look here. I wrote down here, I think every actor in here is adequate for the film that they're in, because it's very, I mean, it has a lot of cheesy elements. It was made in the 70s. There's a lot of cheesy lines, a lot of horror movie tropes, which, speaking of which, I gotta wonder how many of those tropes actually came from this movie. But yeah, everybody's good for the most part in this movie that they're casted in. But the people that really stand out are Jamie Lee Curtis and Donald Pleasance, which both of them actually weren't even the first pick for those characters. For Jamie Lee Curtis, the first pick was actually Annie Lockhart. And for the first pick for Loomis, it was Christopher Lee, who played Grand Moff Tarkin in Star Wars, I believe. Sorry. It's terrible. I know. But yeah, both actors in here, not the first pick, but the fact that they're in this movie makes it so much better. And wouldn't want to have it any other way. I really don't think, I mean, I think for the Rob Zombie movies, they might have recasted Laurie Strode. I'm pretty sure they went with that story route. But it's hard to come close to what Jamie Lee Curtis did in this movie and movies coming, or I guess, I almost said movies prior, but that wouldn't make sense, would it? The movies that came after it, I guess you could say. But yeah, she's iconic as the character. I think Donald Pleasance as Loomis is fantastic casting as well. Yeah, I just love how Michael Myers is like the silent creeper in this movie and waits for his moment to strike. And as opposed to the new movies, especially Halloween Kills, feels like he's just a rage monster that just kills and kills and kills. And, you know, for Halloween Kills, that works because it fits with the title and what's going on in that movie. But at times I'm just like, I don't know, that there, it's departing so much from what Michael Myers started as. And I get that they have to do new takes and put more kills in there, more kills and more thrills to bring people back to the theater. But for me, the kind of slow suspense, the slow build to it is very much worth it to me, in my opinion. But for the sake of a lot of people's entertainment value and their, what's the word I'm looking for here? Their attention, I guess you could say, their attention span. I can understand why they kind of do that for the new ones, because a lot of younger people are going to see those movies. You know, me especially, I think it's cool to be able to see Halloween movies in the theater, because for the longest time, I either wasn't interested in it or just wasn't able to go because of age. But yeah, it's cool to be able to see Halloween movies in the theater again. Let me see here. Oh yeah, Laurie is definitely the only responsible teenager in this movie. I wouldn't say the only responsible adult because Sheriff Brackett actually listens to Loomis, whereas in other horror movies, the sheriffs would be completely useless. But Brackett in this case, luckily not. He's actually working with Loomis, so. Trying to see if I have any other. One more thing here. We actually get to see Michael's face in this movie, which, if you're not a huge, like, Halloween fan or anything like that, you'll know that that's a very rare occurrence to see Michael's face. And I'm surprised that I forgot about it being in this first movie, so. Definitely crazy there, but I think there were a few different actors that played Michael. I didn't have them all credited here, but yeah, crazy to see his face in this movie for sure. Probably gonna wrap this up soon because my nose is getting really stuffed and my throat feels like I need to cough a bunch. But yeah, I think I pretty much said everything I need to say about this movie. Not a super in-depth review, but it's a movie from 1978 that people have probably talked about to death. So I just wanted to give some of my opinions on it, kind of heading into the next few Halloween films. But yeah, let me know what you think of this film down in the comments below. Do you love it? Do you hate it? Are you in the middle? I definitely love this movie. I'm going to go ahead and give it an 8.5 out of 10. Not like my favorite horror movie of all time or anything like that. Probably not even. I would say it's probably in my top 10, but. For me, I have a little bit different taste in horror movies. I'm not necessarily a huge like slasher person, but I do love these films. I love these characters, and they are very fun movies to watch. So, 8.5 out of 10, I think is very fair for how I feel about this one. But yeah, again, let me know what you think of the movie down below. And if you haven't seen it, are you gonna watch it this Halloween season? I would love to know why or why not. Definitely recommend checking it out. Even though I gave some things away, there's still plenty in there to enjoy and plenty of surprises as well. So I would definitely recommend it. But leave a like on the video, subscribe, hit that notification bell so you never miss an upload. And I should be back tomorrow to review Halloween 2018. See you later. All right, so 2018's Halloween is technically the sequel to the 1978 film. 1978, right? 1978 or 79. I don't know why I'm forgetting right now, but oh well. And yeah, it's a little confusing because you'd think, oh man, there's a lot of Halloween movies out there. How is this one the sequel to that one? Well, if you didn't watch my review for that one, then you will know that this is a completely separate timeline from the other sequels. There's a sequel out there, Season of the Witch, that doesn't even have Michael Myers in it. And then there's another one where Laurie Strode dies, Jamie Lee Curtis's character. And obviously she is in the new one, so that doesn't really make sense. So yeah, essentially what they did is with the 2018 film, just completely erased all those other sequels. So this timeline here starts with the 1978 film, then it goes to the 2018 film, then it goes to Halloween Kills, and then Halloween Ends, which I imagine is where this timeline will end up ending. So yeah, on Friday, I will be going to see Halloween Ends. Review for that should be coming out on Saturday because my review for Halloween Kills should be coming out on Friday. So yeah, there's a little timeline for you there. But yeah, I really do love this movie. It's been a while since I've seen this one. I'm not sure if I've seen this one once or twice before I went to go see this one again, which, by the way, the theater that I usually go to was showing the Halloween 2018 and Halloween Kills. So I decided to go see Halloween 2018. I was debating on going to see Halloween Kills in the theater, but just because of energy that I had, I was just like, I don't really want to sit through two movies today. But don't fret, I will definitely be reviewing that. Review for that should be coming out tomorrow as of watching this, if you're watching it the day it comes out. But yeah, 2018 Halloween is kind of, in a way, a soft reboot. Like I said, it erases the history of all the other sequels. Many of the sequels that people just really don't like, and I can see why. I have seen all of them. I've seen every Halloween film. Am I gonna go back and re-review all those other ones? No, most likely not. There's one really cringy one in there that I might end up reviewing at some point, but Double Toasted already did a roast and toast on it, so maybe not. But let's talk about 2018's Halloween, and let me get my notes here. By the way, it's freaking cold out. I don't know why I decided to record outside, but thought it'd be fun. I would show you, but the moon is full right now. It looks really eerie. And I don't know, there's a little added element of suspense. I could get killed by a serial killer at any moment out here. Sidebar, there were a couple people walking their dogs over there while I was trying to record. This is not my first take. And yeah, that was really awkward. So hopefully that doesn't happen again. Hopefully no other cars come over here. I thought I saw headlights for a second, but yeah, let's do it live. So this is directed by David Gordon Green, based on the characters by John Carpenter and Deborah Hill, written by Jeff Fradley, Danny McBride, of all people, and David Gordon Green. So yeah, Danny McBride, very well-known comedic actor, was in one of my favorite comedy movies, This Is the End. Does have James Franco in there, so I haven't watched it since all that, honestly, but I do like that movie. I think it's hilarious, and he is hilarious in it as well. But yeah, we see here, we have Jamie Lee Curtis as Laurie Strode. We have Judy Greer as her daughter, Karen. We have Andy Matichek. Hopefully I'm saying that right. Probably not. As Allison, the daughter to Karen and the granddaughter to Laurie Strode. We have James Jude Courtney as The Shape, Michael Myers himself. Again, forgive me if I'm pronouncing this wrong. Haluk Billinger as Dr. Certain. I think it's Certain, basically the new Loomis. Let me see here. We have Will Patton as Officer Hawkins, Toby Huss as Ray, the husband to Karen, and Dylan Arnold as Cameron, the son of Lonnie from the first film, which we actually do see in Halloween Kills. But yeah, this is a really great sequel. Honestly, this is what I think of when I think of a perfect sequel. It is a nearly perfect sequel to the original film. Nearly perfect sequel in general. It takes what you loved about the original film, puts a little bit of a different spin on it, has its little callbacks, its subtle nods, but it doesn't overdo it with the nostalgia, because we're horror movie fans. We don't really, I don't know. I mean, we like nostalgia, but at the same time, we, you know what I mean? So yeah, I mean, with nostalgia these days, we get a lot of remakes and reboots and all sorts of stuff and sequels, and it's just kind of like a rehash of the original, and that is not what this movie is. In fact, I would say it's a rehash of the original, but like completely flipped the other way. You still have Michael Myers going out there killing. In fact, in this movie, as opposed to the 1978 film, he kills like three or four times as many people as he did in that film. I believe it was close to like 17 to 20 people that he kills in this movie. Could be miscounting there. If I am miscounting, then it's more than that, actually. So I don't know if they're going to be able to top it for Halloween Kills, but that one, he does take a whole legion of firefighters, probably not called a legion, but a whole squad of firefighters. That's funny, because I'm right next to a fire station right now, actually. But yeah, in Halloween Kills, he takes out like a whole squad of firefighters. Great scene, by the way. But yeah, I'm wondering if that next one is going to have more kills than this one, because this one already had a lot more than the original. Original, I believe, even in this movie, they said that he killed five people. I don't know if that includes his sister. I know for a fact that it doesn't include the two dogs that he killed in that movie. So yeah, there you go. He is a rage-killing machine in this movie, and I kind of love it. I don't necessarily love it as much in the next film from what I remember, just because it's like, all right, now he's just a rage monster that like is impossible to kill, it feels like, which Michael has always kind of been in a way, but at the same time, it's just like, what do you want Michael to be? Do you want him to be like a human, or do you want him to be like something else entirely? I have no idea, but I'll get to that when I get to my review for Halloween Kills. But yeah, let me look up some of my notes here. What does that say? Oh, roles. There we go. Yeah, the roles are reversed with Laurie and Michael in here. You still have Michael obviously going out and killing people, hunting people down. But in terms of Laurie versus Michael, it is very much like a completely reversed role, where Laurie is the one trying to hunt down Michael, and Michael in this sense is the one being hunted. And I very much like that. Laurie is a straight badass in this movie. She had a little bit of badassery in that 1978 film, but this one tops that for sure. She's got guns. She's got a freaking crossbow in her basement. She's got like a little secret entrance to the basement. Like the counter moves and it's like an entrance to the basement. Her house is like Fort Knox, honestly. She's got like these huge fog lights and stuff on the roof. Man, she is like prepared. You can tell ever since that night, Halloween night in 1978, that she has been waiting so long for this day to finally take out Michael Myers. And when it comes to her daughter, Karen, and I'm going to set my notebook up there for a minute. By the way, I'm freezing, so I'm just going to put my hands in my pocket. But yeah, when it comes to her daughter, Karen, it's easy to kind of get pissed off at her and be like, because she's in this movie, like, she's like, Mom, you need help. You're sick. You're still obsessed with this Michael Myers thing. And the audience members are like, well, she has a fucking reason to be. He's Michael Myers. But in terms of the character, it's easy to get mad at a character for something that they genuinely don't know. Just because the audience knows doesn't mean the character knows. So there were times where I was annoyed with her character, but by the end, she kind of turned into a little badass herself. So I very much like that. I'll just say it right now. There's a scene where Michael's in the house and she's like crying and holding the gun and Michael's coming after her. She's like, oh my God, Mom, I can't do it. I'm sorry. Oh no, I can't do it. And then Michael comes into the frame where she could see him. She got the gun. She's like, got you, motherfucker. And I'm like, yeah. Honestly, I think that's one of my favorite scenes in this movie. Close second would actually be, there's a really nice one shot in this movie where basically you have a bunch of trick-or-treaters, a couple trick-or-treaters bump into Michael and they're like, oh, sorry, sir. And then Michael heads into somebody's backyard through their driveway, heads into their garage, grabs a hammer. And it's just this one shot of him grabbing the hammer, going into the house. You don't see him kill the lady, but you hear it. And then you see him leave the house through the front door. Well, actually, there's a little moment there that I'll get to in a second. But you see him go out the front door and then basically go up to another house, kind of creep around, go through the back and kill another lady. And I was just like, see, I mean, the original has so many great things about it. I love the original. I would say that's still my favorite. In fact, when I do the ranking for these four movies, that one I guarantee is going to go first, because again, like I said in my review for that one, we wouldn't have what we have today with this franchise or Michael Myers if it weren't for that first film. So, you know, I gotta put that one first, but this one is like neck and neck with that, if not just a little tad bit better. That's just me personally, me being a really big Halloween fan, that should mean a decent amount coming from me. So yeah, what was the other thing? Oh yeah, so in this movie, like I said in the first one, he did kill two dogs, which just makes you hate the motherfucker so much, and I love that. I don't love the idea of killing dogs, but just it's something like that, because it's easy with these types of characters for you to get attached to them just because they're so fun to watch. But you need to be reminded that they are cold-blooded killers and not somebody to, like, look up to. And that's a very big theme. Not only, like, I think that's going to be a big theme going into the new one, is that you're going to have multiple. I don't know for sure yet. That's kind of just a little theory that I have. But you have admirers of Michael Myers. We've seen it. So, I don't know. It kind of parallels real life. People admire especially with the whole Jeffrey Dahmer thing right now. Like, you have people making memes about this guy and almost idolizing the guy. And I'm just like, this is a killer. He's a cannibal. He was a bad person. And, I mean, art imitates life. So, I mean, yeah, I'm kind of rambling there. But the one thing I did want to talk about is that in this movie, he does kill a child. The child had to be, like, anywhere from 10 to maybe 13 years old tops. And you don't see it, really. Well, actually, yeah, you kind of do. But it's dark, you know. You can't quite see all the gory details or anything like that. But you can see him, obviously, killing a kid. And then there's a moment in that one shot where he's in one of the houses. And there's a baby crying in its cradle or its bed, essentially. I don't know why I can't remember the name of a baby bed, but okay. But yeah, he walks up to it, he just kind of looks at it, and then he just walks away. And part of me is like, huh, I really wonder why he didn't kill that baby. I'm glad he didn't. Trust me, I am very much glad he didn't. But I don't know. It's like, does Michael even have morals? Like, Michael's like, oh no, that's too far. I don't know at this point. It makes the character of Michael Myers that more intriguing, because you really don't know what's going on inside of his brain. And that's one of the most interesting things about the character for me, in my opinion, because we never hear the man speak. We hear him grunt if he gets like shot or stabbed or whatever it might be. But aside from that, this character, as far as I know, in any of the films, has never spoken a single word. So even as a kid, when we got the backstory and the little flashback to him killing his sister, even then he didn't talk or anything like that. So I don't know. I think it's interesting that they kind of let your imagination make up the story of Michael Myers, but it would also be a little interesting to like know exactly why he is the way that he is, which is something that a couple investigative journalists are actually trying to find out in this movie towards the beginning. So I kind of like that aspect of it. And I kind of wish in this movie we would have seen a little bit more of that, but it would have taken away from everything else for sure. So maybe it'll be in the next one, but I kind of doubt that. But yeah, is Halloween Ends going to be the last Halloween movie? I highly doubt it, but I don't know. I feel like this timeline is the best one so far out of everything I've seen. Halloween Kills, I'm not like the biggest fan of, but this one, it's, like I said, it's a near perfect sequel to one of the most iconic movies of all time. There's very few sequels out there that you can say that for. I mean, Top Gun Maverick, I would say, is even probably better than the original. So like, not many movies are able to do that kind of thing. And for them to make such a good sequel so long after, and having all these other sequels, and just being like, no, we need to erase all that and get back to our roots, I think that is the best thing they could have done in this instance. So, yeah, let me see if I have any other notes here. We do get some small glimpses of Michael's face in here. And it's like always just, you get full-on shots of Michael's face, but it's always covered by something. It's always blurred. And you really never see his full face. But that's a big thing in the series, is that you rarely ever see his face. And I was surprised watching the 1978 one that you actually do for a little bit. I completely forgot about that, but there's a lot of intrigue, not only with just why he is the way he is as a person, but also what he looks like. So this movie does build a lot of intrigue about the character without saying really a single thing about him. And I think that's genius. I think it works for the movie incredibly well. And I feel like this even builds upon the original, making that even better. And that's not something a lot of, like I said before, not a lot of movies can do that either, is build upon something and make it better. Like, that's pretty rare nowadays. So for something, for a film like this, especially a sequel to literally the most, I would say the most iconic slasher movie of all time, you got an incredibly high bar that you need to pass, and they passed it, honestly. So let me make sure I don't have any more notes here. I don't think I do. So yeah, have you seen 2018's Halloween? What did you think? Did you love it? Did you hate it? Are you in the middle? I definitely love this movie. Forgot what I gave the original. I think I gave it like an 8 or something. I'm gonna go ahead and give this, you know what, the original should get an 8.5, and this one should also get an 8.5. I think they are neck and neck, both incredible movies. Highly recommend it if you haven't seen it. Leave a like on the video, subscribe, hit that notification bell so you never miss an upload, and I will be back in the next video to review Halloween Kills.
Alright, so Halloween Kills is the follow-up film to 2018's Halloween, and 2018's Halloween is the sequel to the 1978 film, in this timeline at least. There are several Halloween sequels out there, however, this is a different timeline from those. There's like honestly 4 to 5 different timelines. It gets very confusing. There's one movie where Michael Myers isn't even in it. That's Halloween 3, Season of the Witch. Guess they were trying to go in like a different direction with a different villain or something. I don't know. That was a weird movie for sure. And then I believe in either Halloween 5 or like Halloween H2O, I believe it's called. One of those films, Laurie Strode actually dies. So making it very obvious that, yeah, this isn't following any of that. That all those sequels are basically erased in this timeline, and it just goes from the 1978 film to the 2018 film. And makes it a lot easier for me to rewatch all of these in preparation for Halloween Ends, which, by the way, I will be seeing on Friday. Review for that should be coming out on Saturday. But yeah, let's talk about Halloween Kills. Gotta be honest, the first time I watched this movie, and this is actually the second time I watched it, rewatched it for this review, and I really wasn't a huge fan watching it in the theater. It was the first Halloween film that I was actually able to see in the theater, because prior to that, in 2020, I went and watched all the Halloween films, and I was prepared for that. So, yeah, it was cool to be able to go see a Halloween film on the big screen, but I was kind of let down by certain elements of this movie that I'll get into in a bit. But the director here is David Gordon Green, who directed the 2018 film. The screenplay here is written by Scott Teams, Danny McBride, and David Gordon Green. Danny McBride and David Gordon Green wrote the script for the 2018 film as well, but I think Scott Teams was somebody new brought on for this project. And then obviously it's based on the characters created by John Carpenter and Deborah Hill. We have Laurie Strode here, played brilliantly by Jamie Lee Curtis. I don't know if, I mean, she's a great actress, of course, but I don't know if I'd necessarily say, like, you know, she was great in the movie, because she didn't really have a whole lot to do. She was basically in a hospital bed for most of the movie because of the events of the last film. And I gotta be honest, part of me kind of wishes they would have just stuck to that 2018 film and just stopped there. Because it kind of ruins the ending of that a little bit. The ending of that is very cathartic for Laurie Strode as a character, and it's just a really badass ending. But as soon as I saw this trailer for the new one, I'm just like, yeah, of course he's not dead. So it's just like one of those things, I guess. But this film, I hate to like give away anything too huge in case you haven't seen it, but this film makes it painstakingly obvious that Michael Myers can survive literally anything, like absolutely anything. So at this point, it's just like, can you kill him? Probably not. And the thing about that is they don't really like they don't really show that he can really survive anything until later on in the film. Whereas in the beginning, and if you saw the 2018 film, you'll know that it, and spoiler alert, it ends with Laurie Strode setting the house on fire with Michael in it. And the way he survives that makes sense, because he's like in some sort of shut off area with like a metal door like in the way. So yeah, he can survive the fire for a little bit in that. And then like the firefighter falls down and he's like, oh, well, there's my out. So it's just like, that makes sense. But as the film goes on, and honestly, like people, even though there's an angry mob in this film trying to go after him, evil dies tonight, which honestly is a really fun phrase to say, but you don't really see them catch up with him until pretty much the end of the film. So for the most part, you're just seeing him going and killing a lot of people. I thought the last film had a lot of kills in it. This one, I lost count, so the number is probably a lot higher. But in terms of kills that I saw on screen, like people being killed, actively being killed by Michael Myers, I counted 35. And that's a fuck ton. I think for the last one, I counted like 20 or something like that, which is still a lot. But I don't know, with that film, it felt a little more suspenseful, because the more kills you have in here, the less impactful, and the less suspenseful it feels. I mean, it's fun for a while, especially, you know, you can see this in the trailer for this movie, but also, like, if you've seen the movie, you know this, and spoiler alert, I guess, but, you know, when Michael gets out of the burning house, he kills a fuck ton of firefighters, like, pretty much this town's entire fleet of firefighters. I don't even know how many people were there. I even looked up the math and it said like 4 firefighters per fire truck. I'm like, okay, 4 firefighters probably inside. You could probably fit 2 on the side when they're riding or whatever. So that's 6 right there. I saw 2 fire trucks. So I'm like, oh, 6. Okay. So 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Yeah. So there's only 12 there? No. But like when the police get to the scene, it looks like so much more than 12 people. So I'm like, okay, is there another fire truck there? And it's just like, I don't know. I tried to do the math and try to figure it out, but it's unconclusive, to be honest. And then by the end there, you know, he's taken out even more people. Basically, the large amount of kills where it just feels like a complete massacre come at the very beginning and the very end of the film. Obviously, like making way for the next one for sure. But 35 kills that I could count, and I think the number is probably closer or over 50. I mean, there were a lot of scenes in the hospital here because Laurie Strode was in the hospital in this movie again after the events of the last film, and there's a lot of people showing up, a lot of injured people. There's moms coming up, being like, "Is my son here? I don't know if he's alive or dead." And it's just like, okay, I feel like there's a lot of kills going on off screen that we don't know about. But then I have to also remember that this movie takes place in the same night as the last one, so even though this came out in 2021, this still takes place in 2018, which also kind of makes me wonder what the gap will be between this one and the next one. Because if I heard correctly, I think there's supposed to be, I don't know if it's a significant gap, but there is going to be a gap in between the events of this one and the next one. So that's what I heard at least. I could be completely wrong, but yeah, I don't know. It really does make me curious. But yeah, the whole mob mentality in this movie, the whole angry mob, it's all started by Tommy Doyle, played by Anthony Michael Hall in here. Not the original actor for Tommy, which, by the way, if you don't know Tommy, he is the little boy that Laurie was babysitting on Halloween night. Not the only person to return here. I had it in my notes somewhere. Let me see. Charles Cyphers returns as Lee Brackett, the father to, I think, Annie from the first movie, Sheriff Brackett or whatever. We also have Kyle Richards returning as Lindsay, which is the girl that was being babysat, I believe, by Annie in the first movie. Yeah, she was. And then ended up with Laurie, you know, as time went on. But yeah, she's in this too. Same actress for her, actually, Kyle Richards. And then Nancy Stevens returns as Marion. She was the one attacked through the window in the very beginning of the 1978 film when she was with Loomis. And then another person that's recasted but a returning character is Lonnie Elm. I think that's how you say it. Elam or something like that. He was very briefly mentioned in the first movie. I think he was outside the Myers house around nighttime or on trick-or-treating or on Halloween night, and like his friends were daring him to go up to the Myers house, and then Loomis was like, "Hey, get away from there," or whatever, and like scared him off. So he was only very briefly mentioned in the original, from what I saw at least. But it's just cool to see that character show up, and I like the actor that plays him, Robert Longstreet. And then obviously returning from the last film, his son Cameron Elam or Elam or Lamb or Elm or however you want to say it, played by Dylan Arnold. Jamie Lee Curtis, obviously, I don't know if I mentioned that before, but she returns as Laurie Strode. Judy Greer comes back as Karen, the daughter to Laurie Strode. Andy Matichek, hopefully I'm saying that right, probably not, comes back as Allison, the daughter to Karen slash the granddaughter to Laurie Strode. James Jude Courtney plays the Shape. There's actually a few different actors for the Shape. Nick Castle as the Shape too, which just based off of looks, I'm gonna guess James Jude Courtney as the Shape is the one who is actually like in the mask, but Nick Castle looks like he's the one that you see when you just see brief glimpses of Michael's face, which you actually see a decent amount of in this movie. But yeah. And then we have Aaron Armstrong, hopefully I'm saying that right. It's Airon. Plays the 1978 version of the Shape in here because we do have flashbacks to Officer Hawkins' characters. Officer Hawkins' character, played by Will Patton. Which I don't think is a character that was in the original film, but he was in the last one. Yeah, he was in the last one. And then, yeah, who was the actor that played the young version of him? I think it's Thomas Mann. I know that actor from a few things, but I can't quite place exactly what he's in. Oh yeah, I have it right here. Young Hawkins, played by Thomas Mann. But yeah, Will Patton, his character, Officer Hawkins, does get a little backstory and some flashbacks, and then we also see a few flashbacks with the character of Lonnie, where he had a face-to-face encounter with Michael on Halloween. Why he wasn't killed, I have no idea. But to talk about the flashbacks for a minute here, there are moments in there where it feels like they might have been retconning the ending of the original film or retconning certain things about the film. With the character of Lonnie, obviously that name was only really mentioned and he saw him for a minute. So you're free to do more with that character. But as for like the events of Michael Myers, at the end of that movie, basically a spoiler alert for that film, I guess I gotta say that for everything now, but Michael gets shot by Loomis, I believe, and then he falls off a balcony. It's like a 10, maybe 15 foot drop. Looks like he's dead, obviously not, and then when Loomis goes back to look, he's gone. And that's basically how it ends. It ends open-ended, and it's like, hey, this character can easily come back. And then we have something in this film where Thomas Mann's character is with a few other police officers hunting down Michael. And you know what? The more I talk about it, the more I think this is just like an added ending, I guess. But basically, Michael's apprehended. And yeah, I mean, like, again, the more I talk about it, the more I'm like, okay, this is probably just the events that took place after the ending of that film. Because that film ended, like, pretty abruptly, I might add. But it does help out the plot overall for this timeline. So I get why they had to do it. But had me a little confused there just on the rewatch. But makes a lot more sense now, to be honest. Then I think I mentioned everybody in the cast there, so we should be good. But yeah, let me look at some of my notes and make sure I'm not forgetting anything here. I do have quite a few notes. Elements I do like here, even though there are a lot of kills and it takes away suspense over time. I don't know if I said this before, but there are 35 kills that I counted in this movie, but and there's probably more than that, to be honest. But yeah, with the amount of kills, that kind of takes away the suspense of like, oh my god, who's gonna die next? It could be anybody. At the same time, that kind of helps it because you see all these people that are terrified but also ready to fight. And it's just like, you have this angry mob side and you also have the people that are just terrified because it seems like people are getting massacred left and right. I mean, there's an entire fleet, probably the whole town's worth of firefighters just got murdered. The town probably doesn't even have any firefighters left anymore. I don't know, man. Like, it's cool to see that stuff and just kind of put yourself in those characters' shoes, even if it's just like an extra in the background. Like, just imagine how these townspeople have to feel. They feel like anybody could be next. Their loved ones are probably going to die. They're probably going to die. It sounds terrifying. I mean, it's honestly like a terrorist attack in a way. And sorry, YouTube, if you don't like me saying that, but it's like mass murder, essentially. And that's terrifying. You're confined to this small town. Honestly, I would just drive the hell out of there. I would leave. I'd get as far away as possible. But to mention, to add this here, there are people in here that lay some blows on Michael Myers, quite a few. It's an angry mob, so we get to see Michael get his ass beat a little bit in this movie. And for me, I'm just like, if I were able to get a hit on Michael, if he were down, I would just keep swinging on his head until his head was mush. I would open up that mask and it'd be like a nice chunky soup. That's disgusting, but like, all these people need to watch Zombieland and learn the double tap rule. Because yes, Michael Myers isn't a zombie, but same rules apply here. I'm just like, confirm the kill, confirm the kill, confirm the kill. And then there's moments where like the characters see the shape or whatever, like Lonnie in one of the flashbacks as a kid, he sees Michael Myers and then Michael just kind of scoots behind a bush, kind of like he does in the original film. And you know, Lonnie turns around for a second to walk away. I'm like, yes, just walk away. Turn around, walk the other way. But no, he turns back around. He walks that way. Forget exactly what happened after that. But I'm just like, why is everybody so fucking stupid? And that's a huge horror movie trope, honestly. I find myself thinking that in pretty much every horror movie I watch. But yeah, stuff like that. That's just like, think, people think. I think it's just hilarious that I said that if I could lay a blow on Michael, I would try to just make his head soup. But yeah, it's true. Like, think about it. Take out the head, there's not much else you can do. If he really is like some supernatural being that can't die, if you take off his head, there's only so much he can do. Like, he can't really see you. At least try to take out his eyes or something like that so he's blind and can't see anything. Like, then he's just going to be swinging at nothing. I don't know. I mean, this movie just makes it super obvious that Michael is pretty much unkillable. And that kind of takes away... I mean, what's fun about Michael Myers is watching him kill and watching him be creepy and stalk his prey and whatnot. But at this point, it's just like, now you're just making him too overpowered, I guess. Making it feel like in Halloween Ends, how the hell are they going to kill him there if they can't kill him here with like a whole army of people, essentially? You see what I mean? Like, where do you go from there? How do you end this? If Halloween Ends really is going to be the end of this timeline, at least, let's be honest, we're going to get another Halloween movie in like, I don't know, 10 years or so. But like, if you really are trying to end it with the next film, how the hell are you going to make it conclusive? Like, how are you going to send this off? Because with Halloween Ends, this could be the perfect opportunity to lay this franchise to rest. You know, like, there's other franchises out there kind of doing that right now. Like, you know, like Guardians of the Galaxy, that the third one should be the last one. There's like Fast and Furious, the next couple should be the last. And it's just like, we have all these franchises wrapping things up so perfectly. And it's, I'm just like, how are you going to do that with this after everything we saw in this movie? That being said, a lot of the kills in here are fun. There's a few, since I watched it at home, I just kind of skipped over because I didn't really care. But yeah, I don't know. Still not my favorite. I believe I ranked the first two, or like the 1978 and the 2018 films, like a 9 to a 9.5. For this one, I did have a lot of fun with it, for sure. But there's like so many problems in this movie. So many little nitpicks about just the plot in general and what they're doing with the character that I just can't look past. And also the angry mob thing going after the wrong person, who is just so obviously the wrong person. It's like, I get it. Not everybody has seen what Michael Myers has looked like, but or what Michael Myers has looked like. I don't care. Grammar doesn't matter to me anymore at this point. But I get that not everybody has seen Michael Myers. But like, if you're going to talk about the boogeyman and have this like person that goes around killing people, and no offense to the actor who played whoever that character was, but like, he looked like the freaking Penguin, essentially. That was his build. And you really think the Penguin is going around? Oh my God. You know, I just realized he stole a car. That guy that the patient, essentially the escape patient that everybody thought was Michael at the hospital, he literally had a white umbrella in his car. And I'm not sure if that was like a piece of the costume that the couple was wearing, the couple whose car it was. I can't talk right now. Jeez. But there was a white umbrella in there. And I'm just like, yo, this guy has the build of the Penguin. And also there was an umbrella in the seat next to him. And the lady kind of like took it out. Like, she was like examining it, like, oh, where did this come from? And I'm just like, what? Okay. That's not even the most important thing about this movie. That's not even like a big nitpick or anything. But it still kind of bothers me that, you know, Tommy at least wouldn't, because he was the one that was motivating everybody to go after Michael. Why could he not motivate everybody to be like, hey, that's the wrong guy, because he realized it after a bit. Maybe it was a little too late to, like, try and tell everybody it wasn't him, but shit, dude, like, if I were in that situation, I would have done things a lot differently. So, I don't know. That's always been my biggest complaint with this movie, but I think my biggest complaint now, you know, I can understand that a little bit more, but my biggest complaint now is just that, what are you doing to the character here? You're making him invincible, essentially. So I really don't know completely how I feel about that, because it makes it feel like, well, if you can't kill him here with, and I already said this before, but like, if you can't kill him with an army of people, how are you supposed to kill him with essentially one person, Laurie Strode? Like, that's where it's all going to end, obviously, is Laurie Strode taking him out. That's the only way that I could see it ending, and that's probably the only way it should end. But I really don't know what they're going to do with the next one. I'm very, very cautiously optimistic and excited, kind of, for the new one, but after this one, I feel like I gotta set my expectations a little bit lower, because there's a chance I could be disappointed. And from what it sounds like with Jamie Lee Curtis and some of the interviews that she's done, she doesn't sound, I don't know, at times for like the promotional stuff, she sounds very excited about it. But then when it comes to the interviews, she seems less excited about it. So I am nervous, but hopefully they deliver a good movie and kind of fix some of the mistakes that they made in this one. Will they? There's a good chance they won't, but hey, I still like the character of Michael Myers. I would say he's my favorite slasher, with either Ghostface or Freddy, I will say Freddy Mercury, Freddy Krueger being a very close second. I do love that Nightmare on Elm Street film. I think that's fantastic. But yeah, I mean, I love the character. He's iconic for a reason. So Halloween Kills, I'm going to go ahead and give this one a 7 out of 10. There's still a lot of fun to be had with it. There's a lot of great kills. Honestly, like, there's a transition in here in the very beginning. I'll stop rambling for a bit, because this is a lot longer of a review than I was expecting to make. But, oh, shoot, how did it go? They were talking about Laurie Strode. Oh, yeah. So Tommy was in the bar and, like, telling the story of the original film and whatnot. And then he was, like, doing a cheers or whatever. He's like, to Laurie Strode, wherever she is. And then it's just like a quick, just like instant cut to Laurie, Allison, and Karen all in the back of that pickup truck. And, you know, after the craziness of the last film, just covered in blood. And then you see the fire trucks go by and whatnot. Very beginning of the film. But that stuff right there, just the quick transition, the quick cut to like having this line. And then just cutting to that, it was, I appreciated that a lot. So, you know, brownie points for that. But yeah, whereas in the last film, there was a really good one shot of Michael. It probably went on for like maybe 2 minutes tops. But there's just this one shot of Michael going from house to house and killing people. I'm just like, oh, it's shit like that that I really love. Because in the beginning, in the original film, like, they were very limited on time. And the script was done in like 2 to 3 weeks, and they were filming at a very rapid pace. So they didn't have as much time to slow down and like make it look incredible. And like, I don't know, they didn't have enough time to like really play around with what they could have, but they made a really iconic and incredible film with the amount of time and just money that they had going into it. So, I mean, Halloween 1978 will always come first in terms of my ranking. So, yeah, there you go. And I would probably go, it's probably obvious at this point with what I've said about this film, but I would probably go 1978 first, 2018 second, and then this film is third. Hopefully Halloween Ends will at least take the third place spot. Don't think it'll end up taking the second place. Obviously won't end up taking the first place, but there's my review for 2021's Halloween Kills. Have you seen it? Do you love it? Do you hate it? Are you in the middle? I like it quite a bit, but I have a lot more complaints than compliments, I guess you could say. But it doesn't completely ruin the movie for me by any means. There's a lot of fun to be had with this. And I mean, Michael Myers as a character is just super fun to watch whenever he's on screen. So there you go. And have you not seen this movie? Are you going to check it out before the new movie? Let me know why or why not. And also, are you going to check out the new movie? I'd love to know. Excuse me, hiccups. Of course, I got to get that at the very end of the video here. And also, I can't talk at all because I've been talking to Close for half an hour here, which is very surprising. A lot longer of a video than I usually do. So let's wrap this up. Next video should be my review for Halloween Ends, so keep your eyes peeled for that. And the video after that, will be posted on Sunday, is my review for the finale slash the series of She-Hulk Attorney at Law. So, yeah, keep your eyes peeled for both of those videos. Leave a like on the video, subscribe, hit that notification bell so you never miss an upload, and I will see you in the next one. Alright, so 2022's Halloween Ends is directed by David Gordon Green, who directed the 2018 Halloween film, as well as 2021's Halloween Kills. It's written by Paul Brad Logan, Chris Bernier, Danny McBride, and David Gordon Green, based on the characters created by John Carpenter and Deborah Hill. Brings back Jamie Lee Curtis as Laurie Strode. We also have Andy Matichak coming back as Allison, the daughter, or not daughter, but the granddaughter of Laurie Strode. We have James Jude Courtney as The Shape, Michael Myers himself. We have Rohan Campbell as Corey. Hopefully I'm saying that first name right. Will Patton coming back as Frank Hawkins. Kyle Richards coming back as Lindsay Wallace. We have Jesse C. Boyd as Officer Mulaney, which is a little bit of a little Easter egg to the first film there. And that's pretty much the main cast for you. There are a lot of actors that were in the last one that aren't returning for this one for, and if you haven't seen it, probably obvious reasons. But yeah, what can I say about this movie without pissing the people that like it off? I really hate to say this word, and I literally just said it, but I hate this movie. I really do. The only time I was invested in this movie was like the last 10 to 15 minutes, which is, it does not cut it at all for a movie to pretty much be sitting there feeling like it's a chore to watch the entire time. Then you get to the last 10, 15 minutes and you're like, finally, this is what I wanted this movie to be. And yeah, I knew going into it that a lot of people did not like it, but I had no idea how much I would dislike this movie. In fact, I would imagine that this will be on my top 10 worst of this year once I get to that point. It might even be in my top 5 worst of this year because I love Michael Myers. I love the Halloween franchise. Some movies are better than others, but for the most part, that 1978 film and the 2018 film, those films are fantastic. I love them both. I would rewatch them both every Halloween. I'd even rewatch those not around Halloween time. Halloween Kills, it's not my favorite. There are a lot of, maybe not a lot, but there's a decent amount of criticisms I have with that movie. But at the end of the day, that's still a really fun movie to watch. I mean, Michael Myers makes these movies. And spoiler alert for this movie, if you have not watched it yet, not a huge spoiler or anything, but also just kind of managing your expectations going into it if you are planning on watching it. Michael Myers is barely in this movie. I would say he's probably in the movie for like 20 minutes tops. And that's probably pushing it. I mean, I am going to get into a bit of a spoiler discussion at the very end. Probably should have prefaced that in the very beginning. But there are a few things I want to talk about not worth making a full spoiler review video for. So if you do want spoilers, just wait until the very end. I'll tell you when to click off if you don't want the spoilers for it. But yeah, let me look at some of my notes here. It does have a really great opening, which has nothing to do with Michael Myers. So the fact that they can have an opening like that, that doesn't have anything to do with Laurie or Michael or anything. It's just like, that was a really strong opening for me. And from there, it just went completely downhill. It turned into something I did not want it to be. I had an inkling that it was going to be this type of movie going into it, but I thought Michael would be in it at least a little bit more. They're kind of going for a Season of the Witch thing, which that movie doesn't even have Michael Myers in it. But I don't think that works for having this be the finale of essentially this trilogy, I guess you could say. Because, yes, it's technically 4 movies with the 1978 film and then 2018 and 2020. Yeah, you know what I mean. But essentially, this is a trilogy for the 2018 film, the Halloween Kills film, and then this one, which I don't know if I said this before, but if you didn't watch my reviews for the other Halloween films, you'll know that this takes place in a different timeline, essentially. There are a bunch of sequels for Halloween, but basically with this timeline, it goes the 1978 film, the 2018 film, Halloween Kills, and then Halloween Ends. Yeah, it's a little confusing, but hey, whatever. I mean, it had a strong start with Halloween 2018. It had a really strong start. It had a really good story to it. I don't know. Like, that movie was incredible. I love that movie. And I even went and rewatched it on the big screen. Halloween Kills, I could have watched on the big screen, but I was like, yeah, it's getting late. I want to go home. I just watched it at home. But 2018, I didn't see that movie in the theaters. And I wish I had seen all these Halloween movies by that time, so I could have seen it in the theaters. But yeah, Halloween Kills was my first Halloween movie in the theater. I don't know. This is the second one that I, well, technically the second one that I'm seeing for the first time in the theater. And both times I've seen these movies in the theater, I was kind of let down. Maybe I will like this movie a little bit more upon rewatching it, but I have a feeling that's not going to be the case. Because they take this movie in a very different direction. A lot different from really any other Halloween film. Where, again, Michael is barely in the movie. And it's kind of focused on other characters. I don't want to get into two specifics here because I don't want to spoil anything huge. But we do follow two characters mostly in this movie. And you think, oh, probably like Laurie and Allison. No. No. You follow Allison, but Lori, I mean, a little bit, but not very much. The people that get the most screen time in this movie are Allison and the character Corey that they introduce in this movie, which the actor for Corey, I did enjoy him in this movie, but the thing that they go for in this movie, the huge kind of twist of this film, I guess you could say, the thing they do different from the other Halloween films, it feels like it's in the wrong film. It feels like this one should have been before the end, you know? It feels like almost Halloween Kills should have been the conclusion. Change up the story a little bit to make it more conclusive. Basically, have the ending of this film, but in that film. And then have this film right before it. Because that way, you can really send these characters off in a good way. In a satisfying way. Whereas in this, I mean, you get a nice conclusion to it. You do get a somewhat satisfying conclusion, but at what cost? Because you have to sit through this entire movie, not really seeing Michael Myers, not really seeing a whole lot of Laurie Strode. We get enough of Laurie Strode in this movie, and Jamie Lee Curtis is trying her best with what she's given, but I don't know. And we only got, like, what, two trailers for this movie? And there's certain things that they gave away about certain things that happen in this movie from the trailers alone. And I'm just like, you only had like two trailers, yet you're giving things away. And I understand why they did it, because they want to promote Laurie Strode and Michael Myers, but they're promoting the wrong people because they don't have a whole lot to do with the plot of the film, which is so disappointing to say, because this is not how it should end. This is not the conclusion anybody, well, I mean, there's people out there that like it. And to those people, I say kudos to you. I'm glad you enjoyed it, but I don't understand why you like this. Maybe you're not as big of a Halloween fan. Maybe you are. I don't know what the case is. Comment down below and tell me how you feel about this movie. But I'm at a loss for words. I was ranting the whole way home, and now I just feel like I'm lost for words. I'm confused as to why they had to go in this direction for the last film. I don't know, man. I'm super disappointed by this movie. And I lowered my expectations as much as I could going into it. I was still excited for it because I'm still a huge fan of Michael Myers. I'm a huge fan of this franchise. He's my favorite slasher. These are my favorite kind of slasher films, is following Michael Myers as a character. I fucking love Michael Myers, dude. I mean, Freddy Krueger or like Ghostface would be a close second. Like the Nightmare on Elm Street and Scream movies. But, like, this is my slasher That sounds weird, but like Michael Myers is my slasher. I love the character because you don't know much about him at all. The most you know about him is that he killed his sister when he was, what, like 6 years old? And in this timeline, he ever since then, he was in a mental facility. He escaped and whatnot, and nobody really knows why he does what he does. And that is the intrigue of this character. And I don't know. I feel like they could have done a little bit more with, at least in this movie, yes, some of the intrigue is not knowing much about him, but in this movie, the direction they should have taken it is actually finding out more about him and understanding why he is the way he is. And maybe fans don't want that, but me personally, I think that would have made for a much better film than this one. Let me look at some of my notes here. Like I said, there is a great opening that takes place on Halloween night of 2019, which takes place a year after the events of Halloween Kills. Again, it has nothing to do with Michael Myers with that whole opening, but I fucking loved it. I think it tried to set the tone for the movie, but what came after, I just couldn't enjoy because it's not what this movie should have been. And I hate to be that person. I've never written a screenplay before. I've never directed a movie. I've never made a movie. I've made little, like, fun little short films and stuff, but I haven't made a movie to this extent. And I hate to criticize something that I have no idea how to do, but I feel like I could have done better, at least just with the storyboarding. Maybe not writing the whole script or anything, maybe not directing the whole film, but I feel like I could have taken this in a different direction and just been like, okay, this is what fans probably want to see. This is what you should do for the last film. And that is basically just having Michael Myers against Laurie Strode. And we, spoiler alert, I mean, you see it in the trailers, but we do get that by the end of the film. But everything in between that just feels so unnecessary to the point where you're just like, why am I watching this? It was literally a chore for me to watch this movie. I was just sitting there. There were times where I wasn't even looking at the screen. I was, you know, the movie theater I go to has those recliners. So I was just laying back, looking up the ceiling, just like, why did they have to do this? Why did they have to go in this direction? There's elements of it that I do like. I'm not going to say that it's completely awful. I don't know if I said this before, but the last 10 to 15 minutes, most invested I was in. I was in this movie the entire runtime. Because at that point, you're starting to get to the Laurie and Michael stuff. And that's what I came for. That's what people want. Maybe you don't have to have, like, Laurie versus Michael the whole movie. That wouldn't make sense. But, like, I don't know what else they could have done other than just kind of doing what they did before. But, like, I don't know. I think they blew their load on Halloween Kills. I think they did every idea they had in that movie. And at this point, and I hear some of the issue actually is, because I was watching Chris Parker 3C Films spoiler review on this. Part of the problem with the plot here is that it's relatively a new plot because they had a different idea before. But since COVID happened, they had to change things. Due to, you know, maybe actors, you know, getting older and obviously not in high school anymore, kind of like Allison's character here. I think she could still probably pass for a high schooler, but she's getting at that age where you're just like, yeah, are you a high schooler? You don't quite look like it, but, I don't know. Because they were originally Halloween Kills and Halloween Ends were supposed to be filmed back-to-back. And I hate to rehash exactly what 3C Films was saying, but it makes me curious as to what their idea was originally. Because I really wish they would have just fucking stuck to that. Like, sure, whatever, the actors are a little bit older now and don't pass as much for the exact same age they were in the last movie, but just fucking do it. I wouldn't have given a shit, honestly. I really wouldn't have. If they could have kept that, because I'm sure the original story, maybe it had the character of Corey in there. Maybe it had, you know, the whole plot that they have in this film with Allison and Corey and the things that they do in this movie. But like, I don't know. I guess I wish COVID never happened. I'm sure that's the understatement of the last like two fucking years, but it's just so disappointing to see something that had a lot of promise, especially starting with that 2018 film, that reboot, that kind of like soft reboot, kind of sequel type thing. You know, it had a lot of promise with that movie. And then Halloween Kills happened, and it started to dwindle a little bit. I was like, there's a lot of elements that I don't think completely work in this movie. But at the end of the day, that movie was still really fun. It had a lot of elements that I did like. Whereas this one, it has little to no redeeming qualities for me, other than that last 10 to 15 minutes. Other than that, the opening was cool. So basically just the beginning and the very ending were the only two parts of this movie that I liked. Everything in between, I mean, there's some kills in there that are really fun to watch. You know, there's some brutal shit that happens for sure that I definitely enjoyed. But aside from the kills, the opening of the film, and the last like 10 to 15 minutes of the film, everything in between was just so painful for me to watch as a fan of this franchise, as a fan of what they did with the last couple of films, just to see them completely shit on what they did before. I honestly do feel like they shit on this, the other two films that came before this. Because even with the character of Michael in here, you know, in the last one, he is basically an unkillable being. And in this one, he's just a little kind of a fucking pussy. I'm not even going to lie. He kind of is. He's like, when we see him, he's hiding away in this sewer, pretty much like Pennywise. And, you know, you see him interact with people and walk around, and he's just like stumbling around. I'm just like, what the fuck is this shit? Oh, there's a fire truck, ambulance, something going by there. Oh boy, who did Michael kill? No, I'm kidding. But yeah, I don't know. Let me look at some of my other notes here, or otherwise I'm just going to be complaining the whole time and rambling. Yeah, I had no idea where they would take the story after Halloween Kills, but this is not the direction they should have taken it for the movie that's supposed to be the last. Like, I'm sure we're going to get more Halloween movies in the future, but this is probably the last one we'll ever see with Jamie Lee Curtis. And for them to just fucking waste that character, for the most part, I do think they wasted that character in this movie and just didn't really do anything super compelling with her. The little bit that they did with her character, I was just like, I guess it's fine, but like, I don't know. She was such a badass in Halloween 2018 and Halloween Kills 2021. She was just in a hospital bed the whole time. And this one, she's kind of on a new path, but you know, the evil starts to kind of come back into her life. And I mean, this movie, at the end of the day, it's just really disappointing for somebody who's a fan of this franchise, somebody who is a fan of the last two films, just to see them waste their potential on this one and just stray so far away from what they had. It really is disappointing. But let me see here. I think I pretty much said most of what I want to say. I mean, I get what they're trying to go for with this movie, but it's not, at the end of the day, it's not the right movie to do it in. Can't they do this in another Halloween film? Yes, but it shouldn't have been the one that's supposed to send it off. It should have, at very least, been the last one. This should replace Halloween Kills in the order of the way these movies come out, because this is not how you end this trilogy. It's not. I'm sorry to the writers who tried their hardest on this and had a compelling story that they wanted to tell, but it just wasn't the movie to do it in, because it just takes away from what everybody wants to see, which is a conclusion to the story between Laurie Strode and Michael Myers. And you don't really get a whole lot of that in this movie. So I'm going to go ahead and give this movie a 4 out of 10, and that's me being nice to it. That's basically just brownie points for the opening and the ending, and then some of the kills in there that were fun to watch as well. But not many kills in this movie that I would say I counted between like maybe 12 to 15. I don't even think they got to 15, honestly. I would say it's more like 12, probably like 12, 13 kills, something like that. Whereas in the last one, I lost count after like 35, which is crazy. And it's not like it's a necessary thing to get a bunch of fucking kills in this movie just to like have more each movie, but I don't know. Just the way it happened in this movie wasn't as satisfying as it was in the other films. And if you watch this movie, you might know why. But there's my non-spoiler segment kind of review for Halloween Ends. So if you don't want any spoilers, I would suggest you click off now, but leave a like on the video, subscribe, hit the notification bell so you never miss an upload. I'll see you next time. Yeah, this is for the people who have either seen the movie or don't give a shit about spoilers. Let's get into it right now. You have been warned. So, if it wasn't obvious in my non-spoiler segment, Corey is the killer of this film, essentially. He dons the Michael Myers mask, starts off with this shitty little, scarecrow mask, not even like a full mask or anything like that. But, I mean, with the opening, Corey, babysitting that kid, and then he gets locked in the attic or whatever, trying to break down the door, kid standing on the other side, falls down the balcony, fucking dies. That shit was like insane. That fucking shit was insane. 'Cause I hate seeing kids die on screen. Like, they did that in the last movie, I'm pretty sure. It's not the only time Michael Myers as a character has killed a kid. It's not the first time he's killed something that I wouldn't be happy about being killed. He's killed dogs before too. But yeah, with this, the interesting thing is that the opening doesn't have Michael Myers whatsoever. It opens with Corey and kind of gets to see how his life got turned upside down, and I felt for him. I really did. Because I put myself in his shoes, and if I were in his shoes, I'm not even gonna lie to you, I probably wouldn't even want to be alive anymore. I couldn't live with myself after that. And yeah, that was a really dark opening and had nothing to do with Michael Myers, and I think it worked incredibly. I loved it. Because you didn't need to have Michael Myers in that opening to make it suspenseful and make it messed up and horrifying. So I think they did that opening very, very well. Whereas the last, 10 to 15 minutes, you get Laurie versus Michael, you get to see Laurie killing Michael, which in the last film, it's just like you had all these people going after Michael. They stabbed him in the fucking spine. They hit him with bats. They fucking stabbed him. They did all this sort of shit. They fucking shot him, and he didn't fucking die. However, in this movie, it's just like, oh, you slit his wrist, you slit his throat, break a couple bones, bada bing, bada boom, forget about it. He's dead. And I'm just like, that doesn't make any fucking sense. It really doesn't. Like, I mean, is the whole thing that he didn't have the mask on and that's how he could be killed? Is this like a Jason Voorhees type of thing? Yeah, I don't know. But the death scene, like just seeing the satisfaction of having this character die, be unmasked, fucking tied to the roof of Laurie's car and paraded around town like it's fucking homecoming. Fuck yeah, I love that shit. I fucking love that shit. And I had chills just watching the entire town in their cars, walking, all sort of stuff, just following and just watching this body be disposed of in a car crusher. I forget exactly what we called that, but just seeing his body be crushed and just his skull crushed and whatnot, just the blood spurting. It was such a fucking satisfying ending. And I feel like they kind of should have just ended it there, but then they go on a little bit and, have the moment between Laurie and Officer Hawkins, which at that point, I was just like, you're just dragging this on. This isn't necessary. Just stop it with seeing Michael Myers' body just get crushed to a million pieces. And this kind of goes with something I said for my review of the last film. I'm pretty sure I said this in my review for the last one. But if I were in this position, take off Michael Myers' mask, get him down on the ground somehow, and then just fucking bash his head in until it's mush, until it's fucking Campbell's chunky soup. That's literally what I said in my review. I was just like, I would just bash his fucking head in until it was just Campbell's fucking chunky chicken noodle soup or whatever the fuck you want to call it. Just like, just bash his fucking head in. Seriously, just do it. Double tap, motherfucker. Haven't you watched Zombieland? But, yeah, let me talk about Corey for a little bit, I guess. So Corey basically gets possessed by Michael Myers, which with 3C Films spoiler review, which just to preface is the only review I watched going into my own, but he was talking about how I can't remember the doctor in the 2018 Halloween film, but I can't remember his name. But the way that doctor kind of got seduced by the evil of Michael Myers and tried to kill Officer Hawkins, you know, that was a very similar thing to kind of what happened with Corey in this film. But the big complaint here is that Corey is the killer, main killer of this film. He's basically the fucking main character of this film. And the entire time I was just like, yeah, I feel bad for him for what happened to him, and it's nice that he's getting redemption on these people. But at the same time, that's not the fucking point of Michael Myers. That's not the point of the mask. The point of the mask is that Michael Myers, you know, you don't know why he does what he does. And that's what makes him terrifying, is because there's no rhyme or reason to it. He's just a cold-blooded fucking killer. He is the epitome of pure evil. And I just fucking love that about the character. And here they made it about revenge, which I can understand, I can appreciate. But once again, I will say it once, I'll say it a million fucking times. This was not the correct movie to do this story in. Because this is supposed to end everything. And you barely make it about the two main people that matter most to this franchise, Laurie Strode and Michael Myers. So, I mean, even with Allison in this movie, like, she's kind of a bit of a main character in here, and her character pisses me the fuck off in here, because she's basically in love with Corey in this movie, you know, for whatever reason. They don't really, I don't know, they don't really explain, like, why they fall in love. It just kind of happens. I mean, they have pretty good chemistry for the most part, but the fact that Allison didn't see all these fucking red flags with Corey just made me fucking hate her character in this film. And by the time she comes back at the end of the film, I'm just like, isn't it fucking obvious? Like, I forgot to mention this in my non-spoiler review, but they're literally creating drama just for the sake of drama. Even though what these characters have gone through shouldn't put them in a place to be arguing with each other, mainly with Allison's character and Laurie's character arguing about Corey being evil or not. It's like, at this point, you should fucking know to listen to your fucking grandmother. Like, your mother made that mistake for a little bit, not listening to her about Michael Myers. You're literally making the same fucking mistake right here about this fucking asshole. And yeah, she pissed me the fuck off in this movie. But yeah, it's great once you get to the Laurie and Michael stuff and seeing the whole town come together to watch his body be destroyed. That gave me fucking chills. But like I said, the only things I like about this movie are the opening, the last 10 to 15 minutes, and a few of the kills in the movie. Other than that, no redeeming qualities for me whatsoever. I hate this movie. And I'm very disappointed to say that. So, yeah, there you go. There's my fucking review. Man, I'm just sad, honestly. But I have a good feeling this movie will end up on my top 10 worst of this year. Possibly even in my top 5. So, I'm disappointed to say that, being as big of a fan of this franchise as I am. But shit happens, I guess. And I should have saw it coming, because I heard a lot of people saying that it wasn't good going into it. That being said, I feel like people are either going to love or hate this one, so we'll really have to wait and see what time tells. I mean, the theater was pretty packed, so even with the, like, two trailers that were released and little to no marketing, people were still going out to see this movie. So, I mean, people still love this franchise. I'm just really curious as to how they feel about this film. So, once again, if you have seen this film, comment down below what you thought about it. Please, no spoilers in the comments down below for the people that don't want it spoiled. But yeah, tell me if you love or hate this movie, or if you're in the middle. Personally, I already said it enough. I do not like this movie. I hate to say the word hate, but I do hate this one. And maybe upon rewatching once, I won't hate it as much, but I don't really see that happening. So there's my review. My non-spoiler review/spoiler review for Halloween Ends. Once again, I'm going to ask this question. Did you love it? Did you hate it? Are you in the middle? Comment down below. Let me know. No spoilers in the comments. And I guess this is the spoiler section, so I can't ask people if they haven't seen it. But I guess if you watch the spoilers and just don't care about spoilers, are you planning on watching this? Why or why not? I would imagine if you don't give a shit about spoilers, you're probably not going to watch the movie. So, yeah, I mean, just let me know down in the comments. I'd love to hear from you. And tell me what your favorite of the four Halloween films in this timeline is. I'm sure for a lot of people it'd be the 1978 film. So actually tell me if you prefer the 2018 film Halloween Kills or this one. I would love to know. But leave a like on the video, subscribe, hit that notification bell so you never miss an upload. And I will be back in the next video to review the first season / the finale for She-Hulk Attorney at Law. See you later. Thank you all so much for listening. I will be back in the next episode to review the series / finale for She-Hulk Attorney at Law. Episode after that should be my non-spoiler / spoiler review for Black Adam. Pretty sure that's the only big movie I'll be seeing next week as of recording this. So that should be its own episode, just like She-Hulk. After that, I will be reviewing, I'm still debating on which movies I want to see and which ones I don't, but there's one coming out called Till that I'm probably going to go check out, and possibly one called Pray for the Devil, which looks awful, but might go watch it anyways because it is Halloween time after all. And then the episode after that, it will be posted on Halloween, I believe, and it'll be a big Halloween movie marathon. Two of the movies, for example, that will be in that marathon are Beetlejuice and Halloween Town. So I'm going to have a nice little variety of different Halloween themed and scary movies, I guess you could say. So yeah, those are the next handful of episodes, next four episodes, really, what you can expect for the rest of the month. So thank you all so much for listening. Once again, I am on Instagram at film_punch. Link in the bio should take you to my YouTube channel where you can get all these reviews earlier, so I highly recommend going over there, especially since the podcast will be ending on episode 200. That is where most of my content will be after this all wraps up. But I'm also on Facebook at Pop Culture Podcast. As I said before, I do need to change that handle. Still can't figure out how to do it for whatever reason, but I'm sure I will change that to Film Punch or whatever at some point. But yeah, I also have a T-Bullock store, have a couple designs available there. I would very much appreciate it if you picked up some merch from that store. It supports me, it supports the podcast, supports the YouTube channel, supports everything I do, really. So I would very much appreciate that. But if you can't do that, at least head over to my YouTube channel and hit me with a subscribe and hit that notification bell so you never miss any uploads over there. Once again, I think this is the third time I'm saying it, but I appreciate you all for listening, and I will see you in the next one.